50 rose bushes on our property that we very quickly gave to everybody we could find so they could live. Reverend Archie Snediger is an amazing rose grower from Clinton in West Virginia. And so we adopted most of them to him. My mom and dad still have some up in Hanley. We wanted them to go to good homes. But I can think in terms that we probably do not want to drench roses in the process of their growth. We would rather let them drench us with their amazing fragrance. Smells are close to our long-term memory and surer than sights and sounds to play on the heartstrings. Roses have captivated and attracted people more than any other flower. They are strewn around at public ceremonies and banquets. Rose petals are used as pillow stuffings, and garlands of roses are used in the hair. They're used for medicine, for love potions. When Cleopatra welcomed Mark Antony into her bedroom, the floor was covered in a foot and a half of rose petals. And so the old saying, life really is a bed of roses, comes to the forefront. Diane Ackerman talks of a rose with an almost human complexion and mood. Depending on the moisture and light of the day, it was appropriately named the Peace Rose in commemoration of May 2nd, 1945, the day Berlin fell to the Allied forces. There is no flower that triggers the imagination like the rose. So let's allow our imaginations to run across the Mediterranean, along the coastal line just south of Mount Carmel, to a plain called the Plain of Sharon. A 50-mile stretch of land with abundant marshes and forests, Sharon was a pasture land for flocks and a place for herds to lie down as people sought for a living God. On this plain, a flower bloomed profusely in spring and autumn. It was a wildflower, an original, not a hybrid. Sharon was a tableland lush with vegetation, a place of fertile growth in a desert land. Surely the imagination of Isaiah was fired by the plain of Sharon. It became a familiar theme with him. The new growth in nature will signal an important religious, cultural, and political event. The natural world and social relational world will blend and throw light on each other. A well-known daily reality will open doors to a new reality. The new day will begin down at the root of things, working in the earth like the rose that grows on the plain of Sharon. A time will come when water will flow in the wilderness. Thorns will be replaced by flowers. God will make the deserts like Eden and the wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found with thanksgiving, and the sounds of singing will be in the air. People will flourish like a spring of water. The wilderness and the solitary place will be glad, and the desert will rejoice and blossom. How shall it blossom? Like a rose. Besides these rushing streams and blossoming roses in the desert, can be seen a highway, a pilgrim's way. The ransomed people of the Lord who crown that highway will sing with incredulous joy. God has opened a new and living way. My soul, all this from just thinking about a rose. Isaiah wants us to look at essence, at the root of things. Where there is root, there is hope for a new beginning. This is a rose that will grow anywhere, as Isaiah says, like a root out of dry ground. Down at the root of things is where Jesus Christ moved all of his life. The undetected sickness, the buried sin, the repressed expression, the ignored holiness, Jesus was subterraneously working at the nerve endings. He was the root, reminding the church of his own true nature. Revelation 22, verse 16 says, "It is I, Jesus, I am the root." The rose was a wild one, not hybridized. When you find a rose in bloom, you know there has never been another one like it, and there will never be one like it again. Sometimes you can look at a flower and it will re-energize your sense of wonder at being alive. You'll lose your cynicism that comes from living in a world where everything seems to have little or overused value. What good is it? When you start asking these questions, you're not far from wondering, what good are you? Or the person sitting next to you? What good is a rose? Not much use that we know about, but somehow a rose gives the sense of being alive and why it's worth being alive. David Adam, attending to a rose cut fresh from the bush, suddenly became aware of its beauty, and he commented so far in a saying he wrote in The Cry of the Deer. It says, "There it stood with the mystery of life in it, and many of the mysteries of the universe, and it had presented itself to me. I was captured for a while by this mystery to be enjoyed, but even more under my very gaze, a presence had invaded my little world. The one thing that kept him out had been my inability to see. Now the Lord is in this place, and I know it." That is the knowledge that restores wholeness to everyday life, that awakens us to the vital link between God and all we lost when we left that first garden, our true home. It is this knowledge that gives us a foretaste of harmony that will embrace everything that exists. Isaiah says, "Down at the root of things." It reminds us that God is always active, although sometimes hidden. God does not leave us to our own dealings until suddenly deciding that we can't make it on our own. Finally, when we are at our breaking point, God arrives. God is not sometimes present and sometimes absent. God is always present and sometimes hidden. Suppose we could show you a hand-woven tapestry with a background of lush, thick vegetation. Scattered in this vast expanse are small rosebuds, not yet full bloom. In contrast to the dominant threads of the fabric, the patterns of the small rosebuds are scattered secondly in the design. To see the true design, however, we would have to turn the tapestry over and see the intricate weaving on the backside of that created masterpiece. The underside is predominantly the threads of the small buds unbroken, moving from one bud to the other. In the center is one bud blossom to full flower. In this full blossom, we see all the subtle revealings of the others. The central brilliant blossom enables us to see the possibility of all that there is. To see God at work, we have to turn history over and look at the underside, revealing what God has been doing all the time. God is revealed fully in the one rose that bloomed fully for a short moment and wasted its fragrance in the desert air, as Isaiah puts it, of an obscure land called Palestine. If we can think in terms of entering into a home of a Nashville resident, it was on a Wednesday evening to observe a night blooming cactus. Anybody ever see a night blooming cactus? It was in the middle of that experience where they were very much wondering, what in the world am I doing up at this hour? Sitting around waiting to see a flower bloom, but the room was filled. It did in fact happen. The cactus quickly opened into full flower right before our eyes. 15 or 20 people were sitting there in stunned silence as they realized this amazing beauty that God has created. This one that we talk of today, this rose of Sharon, was old before his time. He took root down at the nerve endings, and the world did its work on him. He came to full flower and was gone quickly, leaving the fragrance and smell of his life all around us. And then suddenly, without warning, he bloomed forth in us. May it be so today. Do you understand that Jesus has come so that we could have life and have it to the fullest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are so thankful that you have given us many images in which to understand the time period we find ourselves in, that even in the midst of desolation, you have not abandoned us, but that you continue to work at the root of things until ultimately you spring forth, not only in our lives, but in the world that you have created. Allow us to go forward in your name. Amen.